Well, welcome everyone who's joining us online and to everyone here in Greenfield. It's great to be with you today. If we haven't yet met, my name is Tyler and I serve as one of the pastors here at The Ridge. And today we are continuing our series called Canceling Jesus. And we are very familiar with the cancel culture that we live in, and we understand the consequences and some of the challenges that go with that. But I would bet that there's very few of us who would say, you know who I'm going to cancel? I'm going to cancel Jesus. You know, we just need to take him out of our culture today. But what we're seeing throughout the series is, for some of us, that is what we are unintentionally doing. And here's how that looks like. I think of it like this old Drake meme that maybe you've seen online a number of times, where maybe we'd hear some of these teachings from Jesus that are uncomfortable and that are hard and full of tension. And we're like, yeah, no, I'm not going to listen to that. But then if there's some teachings from Jesus that are like, yeah, I like that, I agree with that, way to go, Jesus, yes, I'll follow that. And while that might be our approach to Jesus, what we see is that this isn't fully following Jesus, because partially following Jesus isn't following him, it's actually canceling him. Maybe not fully or permanently, but we're definitely canceling. And so our goal as we're going throughout the series is to help all of us go from canceling Jesus to fully following Jesus. And the way that we're doing this is we are looking at some of his toughest teachings. And we're going there, even though it's creating this tension and this discomfort. What we see is that it's in the discomfort we actually grow. And we grow into the person who God wants us to become. And that person is someone who loves, looks, and lives more and more like Jesus. And so we've been jumping into these hard teachings together. And if you're joining us online today, you're kind of checking us out, you're checking Jesus out. Maybe you're here today and you're just kind of, you know, investigating who Jesus is. You're curious about following him. First of all, we are so glad that you're doing that with us. And we consider that a high honor that you would. And my hope for you is that you would actually take these teachings and you'd put them into practice before you actually follow Jesus. And you might wonder, well, why would I do that? Here's why. You would understand what it means to more fully follow Jesus and experience the life that he offers you. And I think it would be done in such a way that you would actually consider and you'd actually want to follow him even more, especially when it relates to today's teaching. And today's teaching, it's going to just really up that discomfort level for us. In fact, for a lot of us, we're going to hear this at first, and we're going to think this is really limiting, this is really restricting, but I hope that you hang in there, because I think what you'll discover is that this teaching will actually lead to great freedom and to great healing in our relationships. But today's teaching, it just flies against the grain of what our culture says when it comes to this area of our life. And today's teaching is actually related to sexual lust. Now, aren't you feeling very comfortable right now? So you're like, oh, why didn't I wake up early and come here? Or why did I join online? Before you click off or before you check out though, really want to encourage you to lean in as we talk about this today. Because as a pastor, I'm actually really excited to talk about this today. And there's a number of reasons why. One is that the research that we're seeing is true, which I believe it is, we're seeing that 3 out of 4 guys are struggling with this issue in their life right now. And it's not just the guys. We're also seeing 1 out of 3 women are struggling with this right now as well. And I've seen the challenges of this issue play out in many lives. In fact, as a pastor, I've seen this issue actually just split marriages apart and just cause devastation in families. In fact, I've seen kids lose their respect for their dads and lose respect for their parents because of this issue. I've seen churches fall apart because of this issue, that something happened and it would just create this wedge and cause a church to split and to lose its impact on its community. And this might surprise some of you, but long before I was a pastor, I've been a person, I've been a man, and so I've dealt with these challenges as well, and I've seen the impact that it's even had on my life. And before we jump into today, let me just say, hey, this isn't about just pornography, but it's going to include pornography. And this isn't going to be about the sexual addictions that maybe you hear about and see on TV, although the challenges and the choices that we are going to talk about can lead to these addictions that I think are just going to need some professional help. But this is going to impact all of us. And you might wonder, well, why would Jesus even talk about this issue? And really the reason why Jesus actually talks about this issue is because ultimately he wants something far greater for all of us. He wants us to have great relationships, which means if you're married, He wants your marriage to be a very healthy marriage. If you're dating, he wants you to have great dating relationships that will lead to healthy marriages. And if you're a teenager today with us, or you're a middle school or high school student, what Jesus wants for you is to have great relationships, and he wants you to not have the pain that many, including myself, have experienced when it comes to this issue. Now, before I share his teaching, I do want to say my goal today is not to guilt or condemn anyone. In fact, my goal for us today is for us to have a candid conversation about this very important issue so that we experience the greatest relational health that Jesus wants for us. This is not going to be a God is anti-sex and God is anti-passion, because God actually created sex. He gave it to us as a gift. It's just the way that he wants it to be used is far greater and better than what our culture has for us. And so, what is this teaching that Jesus has on sexual lust? Well, let's jump into this. He actually gave this in one of his most famous messages to a crowd. And here's how he kicks off this section. He says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." And adultery is having sex with someone that you are not married to. Most of us would hear Jesus say this and say, yeah, this sounds familiar, because Jesus is actually quoting one of the top 10 commandments that God gave the nation of Israel hundreds of years before this. And most of us would understand why Jesus is saying this. We've experienced, or we've seen the experiences of the devastating effects of adultery. I've never heard anyone say, yeah, I've committed adultery and it was the best thing that happened in my life. You know, because we've experienced the split apart households, the kids experiencing multiple parents and going back and forth now. It's created a lot of complications in our relationships. We'd say, yeah, Jesus, we can understand this. We're not going to cancel you on this one quite yet. But then Jesus actually turns it up a little bit, and he gets to the heart of the adultery issue. And here's what Jesus says. "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully." And Jesus gives us a new starting point. He actually talks about what we see and what comes into our mind through what we see. And he says, anyone who looks at a woman, and he's talking to the men in the crowd, but we're going to see that his teaching, it can apply to anyone looking at anybody. And when he uses the word lustfully, he's not saying, hey, anyone who notices anyone's physical appearance and appreciates their beauty. I mean, that's natural when we notice someone's appearance. What he's talking about is what happens next. That second look, that third look, that fourth look, that mental undressing and the fantasizing of what could happen next. Jesus says, whenever someone looks at someone that way, they've already committed adultery with her in his heart. And Jesus is calling out that our culture tends to focus on the physical act. Hey, did it happen or didn't it happen? But what Jesus is showing us is that adultery, it's actually this process that starts with a look, then it leads to a desire, and these desires are then expressed on, and it could actually lead to a physical affair, or it may not, but he says either way, this is where adultery starts. It's this ongoing process. And for a lot of us, we might think, really, Jesus? We're already starting to get a little uncomfortable. We're already starting to feel the tension with what he's saying. We're almost ready to cancel him. But maybe we're like, okay, maybe we can hold on to this. But then Jesus then says something that really, we're like, whoa, Jesus, you're going to say this? I definitely want to cancel this. And here's what Jesus says in this part of the section. He says, if your right eye causes you to stumble, again, Jesus is going back to what we look at, gouge it out and throw it away. Now, I've seen a lot of bumper stickers before that were saying these quotes about Jesus, like, hey, love others as I've loved you, love God, love people. I've never seen a bumper sticker on someone's car that says, hey, gouge out your eye and throw it away. They just said, nope, we're not going there. And some of us, we might hear Jesus and we might start wondering, Jesus, do you really want us to do this? Like, are you serious? And maybe there's a thought that we have that we're like, I don't know if I should say this out loud, but Jesus, if I gouge out one eye, I still have one more. I can still lust that way. And honestly, Jesus, I don't know if I need the eyes. You know, I still have my imagination. Is this really going to solve the problem? Are you sure that I have to cut my eye out? And what biblical scholars will tell us here is Jesus would often teach in hyperbole. And he uses this as a way to really get our attention. And we do this today. I mean, we say things like, hey, he's shot out of a cannon, or he's as fast as lightning. Well, what does that mean? It means he's really fast. And so Jesus is using this strong language as a way to get our attention and say, this is really important. And he says, you're going to gouge out your eye, you're going to throw it away. And then he says, for why? He says, it is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And we might wonder, hey, what is Jesus really talking about here? He could be referring to the literal hell, or the word that he's using for hell, it could also be translated into the city dump just outside of the city, where they would set it on fire and they would use it to burn this impure trash, dead carcasses of animals or dead bodies. And either way, what we see is Jesus like, hey, this is such a big deal to me that if you're stuck in this lust, it's going to lead into this trap that's just full of these impurities and full of this dirtiness that's going to be very hard for you to get out of. And however you translate it, what we see is that sexual lust is actually a really big deal to Jesus. And he says the reason why it's such a big deal to him is because sexual lust ultimately devalues people. And Jesus is all about people. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, if you ever went to a bar or a restaurant and you notice this, there's this one couple, and then another attractive person walks by this couple, maybe it's an attractive lady, and then the guy in that couple, either it's the boyfriend or the husband, he notices and he looks, and have you ever seen the reactions of what happens? It's kind of like that famous meme that we see online often, that you're like, oh, what's happening? Notice the reactions that's happening here. The one lady that's with him, I mean, she's disgusted, she's hurt and upset. Why is he doing that? And then as he's looking at her, I can guarantee some of the thoughts that aren't happening in his mind. Like, wow, that's someone's daughter, sister, mother. Man, she's been created by God to do and fulfill an incredible purpose. No, he's looking and appreciating her for her body, for his enjoyment, and that's it. And what we see is that it's beginning to devalue people just down to body parts. And there's one lie that happens in our culture today, and the lie boils down to this for us. It says, hey, this is really no big deal because sexual lust, it doesn't hurt anybody. But when we peel back the layers of this, we see that this isn't true. That sexual lust, it does hurt other people. It hurts the people that we're lusting over, hurts people that we're in relationship with, and it even hurts ourselves. That guys, I'll just speak to you for just a moment, but science is now starting to do some studies on what happens when we look at these sexualized images. And it's not just pornography, but it's any sexualized image. What these studies are showing us is that it's beginning to act like a drug on our brain, that it's starting to rewire our brain, and these images, they're acting like these drugs where it's starting to actually deaden our desire for real women, because these images are giving us those chemical hits inside of our brain. And what happens is it just causes us just to start to view those images as just commodities, and just viewing women as just a collection of body parts for our enjoyment. And here's what's happening. When that happens, that just flies in the face of Jesus' command to love other people as he has loved us. And the challenge for us, for all of us, men and women, is that the ability to lust is everywhere. I mean, everywhere we go, we face this, and we see this become a real issue, whether it's online when we go on our iPads or phones or computers, whether it's we go to the gym, whether we go to the stores, we see all the advertisements. I mean, we just bump into this wherever we go, and people are trying to get us because they want to get our money so that we can engage with this. I mean, for example, 2021 came out with this note about the pornography industry, and that the pornography industry actually generated $97 billion. To put that into perspective, that is more money than the NFL, MLB, and NBA, how much they generated combined. An entire industry just devoted to sexual lust, just generating that amount of money. And we're seeing this, and as a culture, we're starting to realize, hey, this is leading to some long-term effects. In fact, there's this nonprofit that's actually non-faith-based nonprofit called Fight the New Drug. And they actually devote, they call themselves this on their website. They say, hey, we exist to raise awareness of the harmful effects of porn using science, facts, and personal accounts. And here's what I find fascinating. This is a non-faith-based nonprofit, and they're starting to discover that, through research, that the claims of Jesus thousands of years before them I mean, they're backing it up. In fact, they highlighted some of their research on their website. Here's some things that they found. They found that most kids today are exposed to pornography by age 13. Now, some other studies and some other organizations actually find this age at a much younger age, sometimes 10 or 11, and almost all of it is accidental exposure. Fight the New Drug also has found that 73% of teenagers have seen it. That's 3 out of 4. And then as they continue to dig into the layers of their research, they found what we see about sexual lust is that it is devaluing people. And here's how they said so. They said at least 1 in 3 pornographic videos show sexual violence or aggression. Almost half of young people who view it think it's a realistic depiction of sex. It's starting to deaden their desires for real people. Research shows that those who view porn are, quote unquote, less satisfied in relationships, less committed, and more permissive of cheating. It's just impacting the relational health. They see that it is nearly impossible to guarantee that pornographic content is consensual and that exploitation and trafficking are common experiences in the porn industry where these individuals are being completely devalued. And we see it is hurting other people. And the challenge for so many of us is it just feels so hard to escape. And the reason why is there's this process that sexual lust takes us down that it becomes very, very hard to get out of. And here's how the process works. It starts with exposure. And as Fight the New Drug discovered, it was around 13 years of age. Some have found it much earlier. I discovered it earlier. In fact, for me, my first exposure was 12 years old. I remember that night, I was actually at a friend's house, spending the night there. And my friend said to me after his parents went to bed, he said, "Hey Tyler, guess what? I found all my dad's magazines. Hey, do you wanna check it out?" And I thought we were gonna be checking out some Sports Illustrated, learning about Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa's home run race back then. He brings it out, it was not Mark McGwire. Just tell you that. And he threw all the magazines down on the floor and we just went page by page and just taking those in. And here's what happened. I began to experience what happens when you take those images in and what happens to your brain. It almost like loaded itself on my brain, like on a hard drive. I could probably bring those images up in my mind again if I wanted to and tried to. And you see all of that and you just aren't sure what to do about that when you feel that level of exposure, which then leads to this next part of the process, and that process is confusion. And the reason why we have confusion is because we have mixed emotions. And the emotions work like this. The first thing is you see it, you enjoy what you see, you like it. But then as you like it, you then get this next emotion where some would say, I feel dirty or I feel guilty or shameful. I've heard some people say, I don't know if God can love me anymore because I just feel sort of gross because I liked it. But then what happens when we have these mixed emotions is we generally lean towards what feels good. So then we go back to viewing it or watching it. And then we experience that emotion again. And we go back and forth and back and forth. And for many of us, this is what has led to sexual addictions. For many of us, this is where we'd say we feel trapped. We aren't sure how to escape it, but we don't like it. And we realize that this is causing some issues in our life. And this leads to the third part of the process. And that's the devaluing of other people. And we see that we are devaluing those that we are looking at. It's hurting our relationships and we're devaluing ourselves because we feel like we're stuck in this pattern of guilt and shame and we aren't sure what to do about it. And as we're seeing throughout culture, this isn't just a guy issue. Women are dealing with this as well. And more women are opening up about the struggle with this. In fact, right now we're seeing this is often celebrated with women to go and do this together. In fact, a great example of this, Magic Mike never won any Oscars, but it got a lot of sequels. And it's making a lot of money because we celebrate it, but then you discover and experience the same consequences. In fact, in our culture today, one of the most things about it that is just really struggling is that it will bait us to the edge of this. It'll tell us it's not that big of a deal, it's not gonna hurt anybody. And then as we get closer and closer to the line and we cross their arbitrary line and we don't know where the line is, here's what happens. We get chastised, pushed over the cliff and canceled ourselves. And we say things like, hey, can you believe what that guy did? Yeah, he did what every rapper raps about. Can you believe what she did? I mean, she's such a, yeah, she just did what culture told her to do. And we find ourselves canceled and our relationships are impacted and we wonder, is there any way out of this? But the good news is that this doesn't have to be our story. and that there is a way out of this. That's why Jesus said, I want you to gouge out your eye. And Paul, one of the early church leaders, he actually built on this teaching from Jesus, and he wrote to other followers of Jesus, and he said, here's how we do this. We actually put to death. Again, Jesus said, gouge your eyes. I mean, these are strong phrases. These are bold phrases because it requires a strong action. Paul says, I want you to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, and lust. And the word for sexual immorality that Paul actually used is this Greek word porneia, where we get our word pornography. And Paul, he's talking about pornography, but even more than pornography, whatever causes us to lust, he says, I want you to put to death because this is impacting our relationships. And I found one of the best ways to put this to death is to actually starve these desires. This doesn't mean that we're going to get rid of these temptations completely because we're in a culture that's trying to get us to go down this road, but we can actually eliminate some of these desires. We can do this by avoiding certain areas of our life. We say, you know what, I'm going to try to shut this out, starve these desires so that I can open myself up to healthier relationships. And so what I want to do is I just want to give us three areas of our life that we can just look at, get real practical, so that we can begin to avoid this and starve these desires, or as Paul said, hey, we're gonna put it to death so that we can open ourselves up to healthier relationships. The first area that we can begin to avoid this in is we're gonna avoid this by looking at avoiding some of the things that we look at. Jesus said, hey, we start with the eye. We start seeing things with our eyes. So he said, let's just stop this at the very beginning part of the process. And so we just make some decisions. In my home, we made a very simple, clear decision. We said, there's gonna be no TV shows, no movies, no websites that contain any naked people at all. Why? You can't fake that. I mean, you just can't. So we said, you know what? We're not gonna let it in. We're not going to impact our house. In fact, if something slips by in how we filter things, we just turn it off. And we just say, you know what? We're not even gonna finish it. It's gone. We're just gonna avoid that altogether. Others of us, we may just say, you know what, we gotta put some software filtering on our iPhone and iPads and computers, and we just need to make sure to just keep some of these websites out. Maybe you have kids in the home and you're like, I don't want them to have that accidental exposure. So how do we start creating some filtering software to help prevent that? Well, in our resource page that we're gonna provide, there's some great recommendations that'll help you. We have XXX Church has some great software filtering options, as well as Bark for your kids and their devices, are just helpful things to just begin to put into place to say, you know what, this is gonna help me avoid some of these things that I'm gonna look at. And so that's one area that we can start avoiding things. Another area is we're gonna avoid some of the things that you listen to. And the reason why we want to look at what we listen at to is because what we listen to comes into our mind. It starts shaping how we view people around us. And so I'm mostly talking about music, but this also includes podcasts and radio shows that you may listen to. And guys, let me just speak to you for just a moment. And I'm going to say this not in a way to create like shock value. I'm just saying this to be very, very clear. But if we have things in our playlists that have derogatory terms towards women, that just completely devalue them, terms like bitches and whores, we delete those from our playlist today and we never put them back on. It's absolutely essential to get that language out of here. And here's why. When we look at history, every single example of slavery and genocide starts with one group of people labeling another group of people in a way that is dehumanizing and devaluing them. And because they would use that to devalue them, it would begin to shape how they view them, and it shaped how they treated them. And when we listen to terms that dehumanize and devalue women, that begins to shape our minds and shape how we treat them. And that's not okay. That flies in the face of what Jesus said about other people. So we say, you know what? We're gonna turn that off. We're gonna delete that. And we're not gonna put that back on because we wanna care about the people, especially the women in our life, so much better than that. And so we're gonna avoid some of the things that we listen to. Here's the third area. We're gonna avoid some of the things that you do. And in a word of what I'm talking about here is our boundaries. And we're just going to make some decisions beforehand and not put ourselves in places where we're going to get unnecessarily tempted. It's kind of like, you know, we tell ourselves with a fire, we tell our kids, hey, don't play with the fire because you're going to end up getting burned. Well, we're going to make the decision here to stop playing with fire. And so we're going to make some choices to say, all right, I'm going to avoid some things that may cause me to be unnecessarily tempted. Two areas that we can put some boundaries up. First area is when it comes to social media. CNN has come out with this recent news story that said 1 out of 5 affairs is connected to a social media connection. And so we want to think about who are we connecting with on social media. I would argue, don't connect with ex relationships. Just say, you know what, we're just not going to have them there. And then don't let anyone just slide into your DMs. You know, make some choices. Say, okay, I'm only going to connect with people that I know and that I trust in order to help keep me and my family and my loved ones safe. Another area that we're going to choose to put some boundaries in are actually in the areas of our friends. And I'm not saying friends are a bad thing. They're actually a really, really good and helpful thing. It's just important to call this out because most affairs happen with someone we know and we're comfortable with. I've never heard anyone say, hey, you know what? I went across the parking lot into Walmart. I locked eyes with that random person and I said, I'm leaving everything for them. I haven't heard it. Maybe it's happened, but most stories are it was someone that we know and that we're comfortable with, people that we're friends with or we work with, or that we see on a regular ongoing basis. And so we just want to create some boundaries just to protect us and to protect our relationships. And so a couple examples of what my wife and I do. One is we know each other where we're at all time and who we're meeting with. We just let each other know. We have real location. It's not that we don't trust each other. We absolutely do. But it's just available so that way we can just ask whenever. It just helps increase that trust. And then when I am meeting with people, just to stay just above guard is I just meet in public places where other people are at. And if it's meeting with another person, the window blinds, they're open. Anyone can see, anyone can pop in at any time. It just eliminates opportunities and eliminates questions. And it just allows us to avoid those things, which is just super helpful. And when we put these level of avoidance in, we starve those desires. And here's what it opens us up to. It opens us up to much healthier relationships. And that's what God wants for you. And so as we begin to wrap up, I just want to leave with just two final thoughts. First one is this. Some of us, we might be thinking, hey, this is really helpful, but it's way too late. And I've already, you know, experienced the damaging consequences of this in my life, and it's impacted me, and I don't know what to do about it. In fact, I don't know if I can get hope and healing from this. And what I want to encourage you with is, remember what we said earlier, this isn't a time where we're going to guilt ourselves or condemn ourselves. But Jesus can and will restore and heal you and restore and heal this area of your life. And so what I would ask you to do is just go before God and just confess it. Say, God, this has just impacted me. And then seek him for help. And he's going to lead you to seek others for help. And I would encourage you to seek a Christian counselor to find healing in this area of your life. And here's why a Christian counselor. They're going to help you discover the root of the issue of why this has become a problem for you. And they'll help you work through that. They may lead you to a spot where they say, okay, I need you to confess this to some significant relationships. If you're married, confess it to who you're married to. And you might be like, I don't want to do that. You're wondering, well, that'll hurt them. You're already hurting them. And so follow their lead, seek help, seek healing. And if you receive a confession to porn or an affair, don't push and cast that person aside right away. I mean, well, here's what I would encourage you to do. Seek Christian counseling together as soon as you can, right away, because that person will help you go through the process to find hope and healing. God can and God will give that hope and healing. All the things we talked about with the brain earlier, God can reverse that and bring healing towards that as we go towards him for healing with this issue. Second thing, a number of us are hearing this and probably thinking, no one does this. It's not, no one does this. First of all, that's not true. And second, even if no one did it, we do it. We do it because if we want things differently in our lives, we do things differently than what culture is doing it. And we say, you know what, I'm gonna move from canceling Jesus in this area. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna follow him. I'm gonna take his lead. And here's what I'm gonna discover as I do this. This really opens us up to experiencing great relationships. In fact, this begins to change the way that we view other people. And the last thing I just want to leave you with is whenever this becomes an issue or you think this might become an issue in your life, I want you to just pray a very simple prayer that will help you just shift the way that you think about that person. And the prayer is this: hey, God, help me see that person as you see that person. God, just help me see them as you see them. Because when we start praying this prayer, we start moving from seeing that person as someone that we can enjoy for our benefit, but we start seeing this person as who God created them to be. God, that person is your child. God, I see that person, you've created them to do something incredible. And as we begin to see them that way, here's what happens. We begin to respond to them that way, treat them that way. It opens the door for us to have a healthy view of themselves as well as ourselves, which just opens us up to having the great relationships that God wants for us. And so we just start, God, help me see that person as you see that person. Let's make that commitment together right now. And let's do that just by praying together. Would you pray with me? God, we know that this can be a tough, tough issue to talk about. And the reason why, it's just so prevalent in our culture today. And it almost just feels very unnatural because it goes so against the grain to say, you know what, I'm gonna no longer believe the lie that this doesn't hurt anyone. But God, I realize that it does. And I want better for that. And you want better for that, Jesus. And so right now, God, for those of us who admit that we've struggled with this, God, we repent and we turn back to you. And we acknowledge, God, we don't want to settle for anything less than what you want for us, God. We want to follow your way. And we want to see people the way that you see people. And so Jesus, right now, for those of us who are wondering, hey, can we find hope and healing in this? God, I pray that you give them the hope and healing. God, you give them the courage to take the steps necessary to find that healing. And God, I just pray, God, that you would just break us free from the trap. God, that we would put to death those desires, that we would avoid this as much as we can. God, and whenever the temptations pop up, God, you would just remind us that you've given us the strength and the ability to say no and avoid it altogether, so that we can find our hope in you, but not just hope in you, we can treat others the way that you've treated us. And that is to love others the way that you've loved us by giving yourself for us. God, we thank you for Jesus and for him just demonstrating the way that this is possible, that we can be free from this. And it's in him that we put our hope and our trust because you gave him for us so that we can find life in him. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name that we pray. We commit all of this to you. Amen.